actual Kevin and Bean show, at least this hour will be worth listening to. Our friend Dave Grohl joins us in studio, and Corey Taylor, too. Good morning, rock stars.
Good morning.
Hey, this is the first time that I think we've ever had a guest come in and just start screaming at Bean at the top of his lungs.
Corey, what did I do, man?
First of all, how dare you put good and morning together in a sentence?
Dave and Corey are here because this thing is happening. This is a Sound City movie that we've been hearing about. Dave, from you, you've been kind of dropping hints about it for the last year or so, but now it's finally happening. People are finally going to be able to see it, right?
It's finally here. Well, we started working on it. It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. We made a movie and we made an album and we edited everything together. We got the record ready. We did all of that within a year, which is kind of phenomenal. Everybody was so into it and we worked so hard and so fast that we're premiering it at Sundance on Friday. And now we're actually letting people hear some of the record
too. Tell us about – we're going to play one of the songs coming up here in a minute.
Yeah.
Tell us about this place.
This legendary place that's your church, but most people have never heard of it, even though they've certainly heard records made there.
Right. So when Nirvana came down to Los Angeles in 1991.
Who?
This band. It was me and a couple friends.
You were in a band before Foo Fighters?
Yeah, I was just a kid.
I never heard about that one.
We were okay. So, but we came down here in 1991 to record that record, Nevermind, and we lived up in Seattle, but the label wanted us to record here, so they picked a really cheap dump out in the valley for us to record. And we got there, and it was a total wreck. The place was just a mess, and they had this beautiful old mixing console and this awesome room, but it looked like a burned out Chi-Chi's. It was like so.
At the beginning, were you bummed when you saw? Were you like, come on?
Well, we were like, really? I mean, it was $600 a day, which was a lot to us.
Right.
I mean, believe me, we weren't like used to gold standard studios at that point. So we got there, and we spent 16 days, and we recorded the record, and then the record got really big. And the studio was just about to close when we went there. And because Nevermind became so big, their business blew up. And so I always remained friends with the people there. It was like a family-run studio.
Other bands see the success of that album and go, where did they record it? I need to record that.
Well, you know, basically in 1991, people weren't using that cool old stuff anymore. Because the board in there was this old analog thing that was built in the 70s.
It's a big Neve board.
Yeah, big Neve board. That they have a really specific sound. They sound awesome, but at 1991 people were using like more digital stuff,
right?
So Nevermind was kind of a return to that old school, just set up and hit record and play. And when it became popular, that's where everybody started going to get that sound. And I mean, Tom Petty and Fleetwood Mac and Evel
and Tool
Knievel
and Rage Against the Machine and people like that said, hey, we want our record to sound like that record. What was it that was so special about that equipment or that room, Dave?
Well, that board is handmade, and there's only one of them like that in the world. And that room had this awesome drum sound. Like it was, and it wasn't acoustically designed. It was just this old warehouse room, but it sounded awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they closed last year, and that board, everybody's recorded on it, and I have a studio, and so I kindly offered that if they were going to sell it, that I would be honored to have it, and they sold it to me. It was right around the 20th anniversary of Nevermind, and I mean, honestly, if it weren't for that board, I don't know if I would be here.
Because you think that board played that big a role?
See, that's what you have to understand. The movie has a lot to do with the reason why music sounds the way it sounds.
Yeah.
People don't take that stuff into consideration.
I don't think I would.
Had we recorded that record in a different way, it just wouldn't sound the same. And if it didn't sound the same, it might not have had the same impact.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask Corey to jump in here, because while we're talking about the magic of that room, so you end up recording Iowa there for your band, Slipknot.
Yeah.
Tell me how you came to know about Sound City and why you ventured out to do it there.
Well, Ross Robinson is the one who turned us on to it. I mean, obviously, we'd heard of it, you know, because we were recording junkies like everybody else, you know, and we know about Neves and we know about SSLs and we got all that tech stuff and whatnot. So when it came time to do Iowa, we really wanted to kind of, you know, step it up a notch, you know, and Ross was able to kind of get us into Sound City. And, you know, that Neve board is pretty legendary. And the thing about that Neve board is it has such a personality. Like, no two albums sound the same coming out of that same board because of the different love that you put into it, the different, you know, the little variables that go into it.
You guys
sound
crazy.
We are crazy. But that's the thing.
I don't get it.
You used to have to be crazy and have talent to make albums, man. All right?
True.
I'm sorry.
All right.
You know, you kind of threw it in a pot. If it sucked, it sucked. If it didn't, it didn't.
Okay. No,
Okay, but if this equipment is so great and so many legendary musicians are so happy with it, why don't they make more of them?
Because here's the thing. What they've done is they've basically used the technology to replicate, quote-unquote, that sound. So now it's easier to do it, whereas before you had to really take the time to find that sound.
Now, when you went to that studio because you heard it was so important and good and the board was so good, did you have the same reaction Dave did, which is... This place is a dump.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's gross.
Everybody. The only person, and I interviewed 40 different people. The only person, if you ask Mick Fleetwood, when Fleetwood Mac went there in '73, he was like, "It was great, like state of the art." You
is
know?
That because he doesn't remember?
Dude, they rented a couch for 12 years. They rented a couch for 12 years. Sound City.
The carpet on the walls was brand new. There's shag carpet on the walls.
It was so brown. It was just brown. Anyway, so I bought the board, and I thought that I would make a short film about the board and the history of it and all the people that have recorded there. And then I reached out to everybody from Corey to Rick Springfield to Fleetwood Mac to Tom Petty and Neil Young. And everyone said, yeah, sure, we'll do an interview because they all loved Sound City for what it represented.
I would have thought it would have taken you a lot longer than a year to even just to track everybody down with the schedules and everything.
I don't sleep. I don't sleep. I drink coffee.
Say, hey, it's Grohl. Be here at noon?
Pretty much. I mean, you know
Corey
what?
You said to me.
First of all, I've been wasted with pretty much everyone in the movie at least once in my life.
That's true.
I know. And everyone not in the movie.
Exactly. And the crew. So
before we have to take a break, this is the voice of Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor. We're going to tell you much, much more about the movie and the All-Star Concert here in a minute and give away tickets and the whole deal. But I have to ask, where's the couch?
The studio, unfortunately, now isn't the same as it used to be. Fortunately, they cleaned it up a little
you
bit.
You don't want the couch.
Yeah,
you may
wants
want
the
board, but you
how
want
do
the
I
couch.
Not want a couch that a guy from REO Speedwagon probably had sex on?
You there's
probably
a, get syphilis
you answered
from that
your
couch.
Own question. Yeah. Serious?
There's stuff you might not want to touch there.
The film is called Sound City. It's going to Sundance this weekend, premiering in Los Angeles on January 31st. And, of course, we should mention real quick for folks who aren't able to stick with us, you can pre-order it, right? You can go to all the usual places like iTunes and stuff like
that.
You
can go to iTunes and then soundcitymovie.com.
Yeah. And we're going to talk all about the All-Star Concert and more with our guests. Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor are here. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show
on
K-Rock.
On the 91 westbound at Euclid, the right lane is blocked. Watch for slowing from Raymond to the 5 freeway. In Moreno Valley on the north 215, traffic is still recovering. Very heavy from Nuevo all the way up to the 60 and south 405 to the east 22, a wreck in the left lane. Stop by a Subway restaurant and get a big combo for a small price, any regular 6-inch sub plus a 21-ounce drink, cup of today's soup for just $6. Subway, eat fresh, limited time only, additional charge for premium subs, prices and participation may vary plus tax. See store for details. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
You can't throw her. You can't. Where
she
did
is
you get that
traffic music?
I don't know.
What is that?
But you accompanied me with awesome.
That's what you want people listening to.
Sounds
in traffic.
like an old prong demo. It's like.
These guys were. First they were.
Snip your fingers.
First these two guys were air drumming, and Lisa looked at him and just kept right on going. And then Dave started doing some kind of.
I did pyro. I did a solo, and I was spinning my sticks.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
I was enjoying it.
I thought that was jazz hands. I misunderstood spinning your sticks with jazz.
These are spirit fingers.
This is Liza.
This is all right. Settle down, everybody.
Sorry.
Grown-ups are trying to talk here.
Oh, Dave says Grohl, the man who's not even here.
Correct. Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are both part of the documentary Sound City. SoundCityMovie.com is where you want to go if you want to buy tickets. You're going to Sundance this weekend. You got the big premiere in L.A. on January 31st, and then an all-star concert afterward. Let's talk about the concert, because that's the thing that tickets are going on sale for today at noon through LiveNation.com. What's the deal with this show, guys?
So I thought that it would be kind of fun to take it one step further and not only interview the people from all of these amazing bands, but then also to perform with them in the movie. There's performances in the movie as well, but then also to bring it to the stage and to have a gig where you have all of these musicians in the movie.
Name some
Black
that are
Rebel Motorcycle
play.
Club, Chris Goss from Masters of Reality, Lee Ving from Fear, John Fogerty, Stevie Nicks, Rick Springfield, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick.
No
Corey,
room for Corey.
Corey. I'm getting there.
Oh, there's
I'm getting to the top
me.
Of the bill here.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Corey. Me and Chris and Pat from Nirvana, Foo Fighters. Who else? It's a lot of us.
Just going to jam all night, basically.
Pretty much. I don't know if there's a curfew, but it's going to be a long night.
Well, there won't be a curfew that night.
It's going to be fun. I mean, so that's the thing is that I know. And Corey just told me that he's going to be at the LA
show. I'm flying in. We're going to fly in. Yeah.
So what we're going to do, basically, with Corey, I don't know if I'm just going to say it. We're gonna do the song from the record that we recorded with Corey.
We're gonna play in a minute.
Which is on that song. It's me on drums, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick on guitar, Scott Reeder from Caius on bass, and Corey on vocals. And so at the show, we're gonna do that song, but we're also gonna do a set of Cheap Trick songs.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
nice.
Corey's backing band will be me and Chris and Pat from Nirvana with Rick Nielsen playing guitar and Corey singing. It's gonna be so good.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
You gotta stop saying that because I freak out every time I think about it too long.
Dave, I know you in particular. I'm Corey. I'm sure you two grew up idolizing a lot of these people that you're now rubbing shoulders with.
Corey.
Do you get at all? I mean, you're Dave Grohl, but do you get starstruck if you're hanging out with Cheap Trick or with Corey?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, we're all musicians. We're on the same team, and it's all equal.
Yes, to both. But you have to understand, like, to me, you know, hanging out with Paul McCartney is
who's on the album,
who's on the record too, and in the movie.
he's the guy from that Ebony and Ivory song, right? That's what we're talking about.
He's the other guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know. When you meet someone whose music is really important to you, it doesn't really matter. Their level of fame doesn't really matter. Because I've met people who are hugely famous who I never really listened to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, hey, dude, what's up?
Yeah.
But then, you know, when I first met Corey or when I first met the guys from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, those are bands that, like, I really love. And I spent a lot of time listening to their music. And when you meet that person, like, in the flesh, you get kind of a little nervous.
Are you tongue-tied ever?
Yeah.
The guys from Led Zeppelin or whoever?
No, like when my wife asks me questions
Of course. Because you're trying to think of a lie. Right?
Well, you know, the funniest thing is, when I first started dating my wife, Iowa had just come out.
Right.
Slipknot record, Iowa. And if you've ever listened to it, it is such a masterpiece. It is the most brutal album ever made. It just is, dude. From front to back, you cannot top it. And I was listening to it every day in the car, and I was making her listen to it too. I can't even believe that
she's a keeper. Then,
yeah, that's how I knew it.
Yeah, that's the stress test.
I want to talk about this Paul McCartney thing because it was kind of sprung on us out of nowhere around that 12-12 concert. It was almost like the day before we heard, hey, wait a minute, Paul McCartney's playing the song with Grohl and these guys from Nirvana. What?
Yeah.
What song are they going to do? There was so much speculation. Are they going to do a Nirvana song? Are they going to do a Beatles song? What are they going to do? How did that thing happen?
Honestly, like about 8 months ago, I've jammed with Paul a bunch of times. He's without a doubt the coolest guy in the world and just the sweetest, nicest, most awesome person.
And 70 and couldn't be more modern and more plugged in,
and
right?
A Beatle, you know.
There's that.
And he's just the coolest. He's absolutely the coolest guy ever. So I as we were filming all of these performances, I was just like, hey dude, why don't you come down and jam? He's like, okay. So he comes down and brings the bass, you know, that he's played for 40 years.
Right.
And the Les Paul that there's only four of in the world at the guitar. And then he brings this guitar made out of a cigar box. It's called a Sig fiddle. And he's like, oh, I have to go play this. Why don't you play a bit of drums? And, you know.
Can I hear some more of your Paul McCartney impression?
Yeah. No. And we just jammed. And we, like, wrote this song in about an hour. And we recorded it.
So you really did write and record it in one day?
Absolutely. We walked in and we jammed it, and it just came out of nowhere, and those best songs happen that way.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere, and we recorded it live and then put a vocal over it, and that was it. It was like 3 hours, and it was perfect.
Wow.
And then he called before the 12-12 thing. He called maybe a month before and said, hey, we're doing this benefit. Will you play with me? And I said, yeah, the Foo Fighters are taking a break, but if you want to play – let me know. And then he called a couple days later and said, hey, why don't we do that song that we recorded with you and Chris and Pat?
Let me interrupt you. So your phone occasionally rings and Paul McCartney is on the other end calling you.
That happens.
That happens in your real life.
Is that
right?
Weird?
Yes, that's weird.
Here's my theory. Of course it's weird. Believe me.
I don't mean brag, but my grandma calls me.
Yeah.
All the time.
Mine doesn't.
Here's my theory about Paul McCartney. And I'm a crazy Beatles fan just like you guys, and I'm obsessed like we get. But I just feel like when he's making a Paul McCartney album, he gets too precious. But when he's just chilling and hanging out with other musicians like the Fireman Projects and this thing that he did with you, I feel like the pressure's off. He doesn't have to make a Paul McCartney record. He can just be a great musician, and it always comes out beautifully.
You have to understand that one of the great things about playing like with Paul McCartney or playing with someone like Neil Young is that that generation of musicians, they cherish and respect and value the practice of just going into a room and coming up with something and jamming it and making it a song. There's no precious, like, there's not like seven songwriters and seven producers and digital technology.
It takes 2 years.
Whatever. It's like people getting in a room. You know, it's one of the things that the movie is really most about, the human element of music and what it's like to just get together with a person and write a song in a room in a day. And it doesn't have to be perfect. But that's how the magic happens. Like when you get four human beings playing with each other, you get the Beatles or you get the Rolling Stones.
Not always,
but that's the thing. That's where the magic happens. When people play with people, that's what it's all, to me, that's what it's all about. That's when you get those magic moments. And in the movie, you see that. Like, you see all of us putting these songs together. Yep. Like, you see it start from scratch. You see Rick Springfield and the Foo Fighters writing a song. You see,
that's weird.
It's awesome.
It's amazing.
You know what? It makes a lot more sense than you would imagine. Because all of us, too, we all come from the same place. Like, we were kids that bought instruments at yard sales. And then we started a band in a garage. And we sucked. And then we became the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it happens.
Yeah,
it doesn't you don't
weird.
Have to stand in line to be on a TV song contest show.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, and then walk up and get your one big chance. And some guy goes, you suck.
You suck.
Don't dare make fun of my Clay Aiken, because I feel like that's what's happening here right now.
All right. So we're going to talk more about the movie.
What would Clay Aiken do?
We're going to talk more about the movie in just a second. But next, we're going to play From Can to Can't. Tell us about that.
I mean, you want to talk about a check mark off my bucket list. I've been wanting to work with Dave forever, you know? So when he invited me to be a part of this movie, he said, oh, by the way, I've got this music. Would you like to, you know, put this together? And I just went, duh, I'm already in the car on my way. So we kind of went back and forth and we fleshed it out, you know? And when I went to do the interview, he was like, all right, let's record the song. And it was just, I mean, it was so effortless, you know?
And who's on it again?
On the song?
From Can to Can?
Corey,
Rick Nielsen, Scott Reeder, and Dave, playing drums, right?
Yeah.
You play guitar as well?
Yeah, I play guitar.
Yeah.
Well, and drums.
I don't think this has been heard anywhere before, but we're going to play it next, From Can to Can, and that is going to be on the soundtrack of the Sound City movie, which is called Reel to Reel. The soundtrack comes out on March 21st. We'll talk more about all of this with our guests, Corey and Dave, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Joint Kit. You've never heard that song before? No one has. It's called From Can to Can't, and that is from the forthcoming Reel to Reel Sound City soundtrack, available on March 12th. That's Corey Taylor singing there, young Dave Grohl on this track as well, Rick Nielsen and Scott Reeder, too.
He's not that young.
We have a couple of tickets to give away for this show, by the way. Tell us, we'll take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Two pairs of tickets for the show at the Palladium January 31st. Everyone else can buy tickets at noon today. So who all's going to be performing that night? Like Stevie Nicks is going to be there. Like how much does she sing? How much does Rick Springfield sing?
I'm not going to give away the whole set list, dude.
Yeah. Every song.
Basically, okay, so you've got the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club guys are going to play, one of my favorite bands. My friend Alain Johannes, who's played with Queens of Stone Age and was in a band called Eleven, is playing. Chris Goss from Masters of Reality will be there. Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine will be playing some drums. Lee Ving from the legendary punk band Fear will be doing a set. Who else? Rick Springfield. We'll be doing a set. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick with me and Corey and Chris Novoselic and Pat Smear.
Quite a night.
Then you've got John Fogerty is going to do a bunch of stuff. And you've got Stevie Nicks is going to do a bunch of stuff. And it's, I mean, dude, in the last 2 weeks, I've learned like 50 songs.
Wow. That,
you know, like when you're when something says like memory card full, memory card full. Yeah. That's my brain, dude.
I hope I'm not giving too much away, but David Copperfield is going to bless the stage.
That is that night. Right?
Yeah, he's coming in.
Well, that's even
it's
going
to be fantastic. You know? All we had to give him was like a Starbucks gift card. Yeah. It was pretty sweet.
A German model.
It was really?
This Sound City that we so casually mentioned for folks who weren't with us early in the hour is the legendary recording studio that started in the late 60s or the very, very beginning of 1970, right?
They opened up in the late 60s, and then they really started kind of blowing up in the early 70s. Like and, 73, because that's when Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham actually met Mick Fleetwood at Sound City, okay. And that's where the Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
Yeah. And then the Grateful Dead and Cheap Trick and Foreigner and Tom Petty just went on and on.
Evel
and on all the way
right.
up to Def Cab
Charles
for
Manson.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Manson did
yes.
his demos there.
Oh, Manson yeah. did demos there. The yeah. FBI took them.
So what's
the creepiest music ever?
Yeah.
What's in that space now? Is it have they turned it into a Del Taco or no. what's in that building?
Yeah. No, now it is a Chi-Chi's. A great producer named Kevin Agunis took it over and remodeled it and made it really nice. And the room still sounds amazing. And it's still a functioning studio. It's not really the same old Sound City, but it's still a studio. And I've recorded there since. I made a record with a band called Red, Gold, Green. I played drums on it. And it sounds great, man. It's a great place.
So there are still places that you approve of that you can go to and still make music, even though that one's gone.
You know,
the magic still exists.
Here's
right?
the thing is that, you know, we live in a wonderful, beautiful world where technology has made it available to everyone that anybody can record music. Now, when we were kids, like making demo tapes and stuff, to get anyone to hear what you'd recorded was the biggest pain in the butt.
Yeah.
It's like you go to a studio and it would sound like crap, and then you'd send it to a place and they'd press little singles and then you'd stuff them with the sleeves.
Well, your Foo Fighters demo was on cassette, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, and then, you know, you would like have to hand them out. Now, all of this is available to any kid that wants to be in a band.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome. But those old studios, man, like there's so many stories from these beautiful places that I really believe that if the more depth you give a song, the more you can connect to it. So like sometimes you hear a song and it just comes out of your car radio and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that tune.
Right.
But if you learn about the people and the story and the life behind these places where it was made and the people that made it and the relationship between them, it gives new meaning to music, because music should be more than just like a sound. Like there's emotion and there's real human quality to music. I really believe like music totally changed my life. I would totally be like smoking crack or drywalling or whatever.
or both.
Smoking drywall. if it weren't for playing music.
Yeah.
And so the intention of the movie is really to inspire the next generation of kids to appreciate the simple human quality of music. Like, you don't have to do the TV show. You don't have to be perfect. You just, like, pick up a guitar and suck.
Yeah.
And it's the best feeling in the world until you become good. And then you're the biggest band in the world. It can happen, you know?
You never know how good you are until you figure out the mistakes, you know?
Until you fail a certain
that's
amount.
That's the thing. I mean, and failure causes success, you know? I mean, you have to cut your teeth. You got to practice. You got to know your thing.
Failure
you know?
Does not cause success on this show. I can tell you that.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it. Well, like I said, this failure. Is about talent.
You guys have sucked forever, and you're still around.
Look at that.
And I'll also say this in particular about a guy like you, Corey. No one gets into Slipknot expecting success. You do that music because certainly not. That's my point. That's my point. You got into Slipknot because you and the guys in your band loved it and loved that music, and it meant something to you, and you connected with that music. But clearly, you didn't expect to have number one albums and
not at all, this
career.
We expected to be at the most. You know, our high watermark was hopefully a 200,000 album band. You know, that would allow us to tour. That would allow us to kind of make our music, you know. We didn't expect any of that. You know, so that was all extra, and it really, really messed us up for a long time.
I was
going to
ask, it takes a while.
It really did, man.
Like, mentally, does it take a while?
There was a good 4-year period where I was out of control, and luckily, I kind of got out of that and put it back in perspective, you know, and got back to the point where it was like, this is all so I can make music. This is all so I can perform.
Right.
This is all so I can do exactly what I wanted to do, you know. But it took years, you know. I mean, I've been doing this now since I was 14, 15 years old. And in that time, I've seen so much weirdness.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That, you know, it's helped mold me and get me to where I am, you know. And it's, you know, I'm really lucky. But at the same time, I earned it because I worked tirelessly to get to where I was.
Right. Well,
you know,
we're
one
all...
of the, like, honestly, I'm one sorry, of the Dave, things about being a musician that came from that kind of thing, like, we've had crappy jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Gas stations.
Oh, yeah. I worked in a porn shop for 3.5 years. Porn shop. Whoa. It was the best job ever.
Well, yeah, what are you talking about?
But before that, I was rolling burritos. You know, like,
all right, well, that's better.
I can roll you a burrito. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
Hey, that kind of rolling
skill.
Is a transferable
skill. To this
skill.
Day, when we're making tacos at the house, I'm like, check this out. I learned this at Taco Time.
Watch this.
If I had some paper, I could roll it up for you and just hand it right to you. So sad.
You don't have cleanup duties in the porn place.
That
though,
was
right?
My question.
No. Okay. I was a sales associate.
Okay, that's,
I
was better. That's way better.
That's what they called it. I wore a smock.
Is that corporate? What is that?
It was like the Walmart of porn. Like it was well lit. It was very nice. I dusted. It was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. 3.5 years, midnight to 8. I can tell you some stories.
Awesome. You saw every politician in Iowa.
I saw my aunt. I'm just going to leave it at that.
And thus, Slipknot was born.
You saw your aunt.
All right, listen, gentlemen.
I'm going to have many questions about that throughout the day.
We are out of time. We're all big music geeks here, and I'm telling you, and I speak to the music geeks listening to K-Rock today, Sound City is essential viewing and essential listening. You can get all the details about the movie, about the concert, about the movie, and everything at soundcitymovie.com. And remember, today at noon, you can buy your tickets for the live show at livenation.com. And Lisa had asked off here, but we want to mention eventually, it is going to be in theaters and available for everyone to buy on demand and the whole deal. People can get it, right?
People are going to get, we're doing a limited theater release January 31st. Then it'll be, you just got to keep your eyes out for it. And then it'll come out in DVD like around the time the record comes out in
Super.
March, I think.
Dave Grohl, Corey Taylor, love you guys. Thanks, man.
Later.
Thank you.
There are many ways to get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. We always enjoy hearing from you during the program, and you can just call the regular 1-800-520-1067. Give Dave, the King of Mexico, something to do by answering some phones. You can also call the Community Bulletin Board anytime at 323-520-AFRO, and we enjoy emails. We get a lot of stories from listeners, things that happen to them that are interesting that we can then follow up on when they email it to us. Any of us, just put our names at krock.com.
You're Kevin and Bean. My friend and I went to the L.A. Zoo yesterday. We spent a fair amount of time watching the monkeys. My friend has a fondness. I can't say why. There was only one gorilla in the gorilla exhibit, an old silverback. He was chilling for a while up on the mountain until a large, noisy group of school kids stopped next to us. The gorilla came down from the mountain, hopped onto one of the few wooden stair thingies in the moat around the exhibit. He squatted there on the stair for a couple of minutes, his back to us, his arms hanging at his side, seemingly holding onto the stairs underneath him. When all of a sudden he lifted his arm, turned toward the group of kids and us, and then he flung a handful of poo at us. It certainly would have been funnier if someone had gotten nailed. A kid, my friend, anyone but me, really. But we all scattered away quickly enough. And this is from Lisa. Lisa, hello.
Good morning, guys.
What a fantastic story this is.
Isn't that great?
And I love the fact that a K-Rock listener is out there with flying feces, and the first thing she does is think, oh, I got to tell Kevin B. I don't know how I feel about automatically our names coming to mind when poo's involved.
Well, I know how much you guys love the monkeys.
We do love the monkeys, and I've always heard that this happens, but I've never seen it firsthand. Monkeys do not like you to stare them in the eye. This is the reasoning behind
what,
it.
Were the school kids doing anything? Were they doing anything to irritate the monkeys?
They were just being loud and noisy. They had on these big, bright yellow shirts, and I think they were just irritating in general.
So monkeys will literally throw their poo at you, and I always think that is the funniest response. Somehow that animal knows the least favorite thing that animal could do at that point in time. He knows that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. You know, you get enough noisy kids around, I'm likely to throw poo. I mean, I could understand that reaction, certainly.
Wow.
Well, what did the monkey, when you described in your email how the monkey had his back turned toward, you know, toward you and he had his arms, did you sense that he was making some mud right then?
He was
what?
Loading up?
I really didn't. I thought he was just, you know, irritated. And, you know, just ignoring us.
He was getting a fistful.
And no, and then all of a sudden the arm comes flying up and I'm like, oh my God.
That is so awesome. He threw his poo.
Yes.
I love
was
that.
Was it a lot of poo?
It was a lot.
Did he continue doing it until people left or did he just quit?
Nope, just one handful.
What'd the kids think?
You know how kids are. They're like laughing and screaming.
Sure.
Yeah, but they thought it was funnier than it was. Scary.
It is funnier than scary. There's nothing better than an animal throwing its poo at you. I love that.
You know unless you get hit.
Yeah, sure.
Unless you get hit, right. You know what's kind of creepy about monkeys, though? And one of the reasons, I honestly think one of the reasons we are all so fascinated with monkeys is that they are so scarily like human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't the number, Lisa, you would know, isn't the number something like they're 99% human?
Yeah, there's just like a couple of chromosomes or something difference. It's
and
very
not
small.
Even that for some humans.
I feel kind of bad for the monkeys.
I do too.
You mean because
lonely.
There's so many people like looking at them and stuff?
Yeah, and obviously he was bugged and it just made things worse and it's kind of sad.
Isn't it funny though that the monkey actually knows what to do to gross us out?
Well, it may just be what's handy.
Well, that's true.
They don't have a lot of options. It's not like, until Charlton Heston gets in there, and I'm sure that's happening soon, and arms all the monkeys.
Exactly.
But all other animals will bark at you if it's a dog or will...
Well, dogs can't really throw, Kevin.
I'm just saying the monkey somehow knows that throwing its poo is the thing that's going to upset the humans the most, and I love that.
And he could very easily have grabbed a handful of dirt or something.
Yes.
He knew.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I'll make one more suggestion here and add this to the list of great ideas. We got the car Chase channel already. Where's the monkey throwing poo cable channel? Think about all the millions of people around the world who go to the zoo with a video camera. There's got to be a lot of footage out there.
That's true.
Got to go on when animals attack or something like that.
I hear you.
Attack with poo.
Well, Lisa, you're the greatest for thinking of us and emailing us.
Hey, no problem. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. You know what we ought to do is we ought to call the monkey.
Oh.
I have the phone number for the monkey at the LA Zoo.
He's not still angry.
How about if we do that?
Okay.
You know, we could. I'm a little tired of calling
what?
The monkey.
Come on, we're calling the monkey.
We talked to his sharks.
We talked to
call
the
chickens.
Hey,
at some point,
it's a funny bit. Continue to do it. It's always funny.
All right, we'll call the monkey.
Right. Come on, man, stay on board. Don't get off the love train yet.
I'm trying to.
You gotta... Hello.
Hi, is this the monkey?
What?
Is this the monkey?
Who is this?
It's Kevin and Bean at K-Rock.
Oh,
We're looking for we're calling the LA Zoo. We're looking for the monkey who threw the poo at the school kids last week.
Hey, you know what? Monkeys don't talk.
Right, but...
There's only a little radio bit. I hear your show. Let's call the monkey. Let's call the animal. It's an animal. It doesn't talk.
So who are you?
We know it doesn't talk, but we just figured it would be a funny radio bit to call the monkey and talk to him about
it's not funny. It's stupid.
It's not funny.
Well, we're calling the zoo. You sound like you're at the zoo. Who are you?
I'm the poop.
So we're not talking to the monkey.
No, monkeys don't talk. I'm monkey poop.
You're monkey poop.
Poop talks.
Yes.
Okay. I guess we can continue with the conversation if you're the poop.
So what's that like for you then when the gorilla gets angry at the visitors and creates you and then throws you through the air?
Yeah, you guys are missing the whole point.
What's the point?
You're talking about the monkey and then the people who get thrown at.
Right.
Where's the real victim here? It's me.
It's the poo.
I'm the one that gets flung. I'm the one that gets splattered.
Is it painful for you?
Yeah. You throw me against a bunch of bars and I break into little pieces.
Yeah. Are you, I don't know how to ask this delicately, but would you say you're harder or softer?
It depends. It depends on what the monkey's diet is.
I see.
Wow.
Okay, it sucks being a monkey, zoo monkey poo.
Why is that?
Because if I was in the wild, it'd be a nice wholesome mix of like bananas and walnuts
right.
and leaves
right.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with the zoo, you don't know what the crap they're eating.
Sure.
Is it just Purina Monkey Chow or something?
It's part chow, and then some wise ass at the zoo feeds him, and now I'm like candy corn. And
oh, wow.
And like pieces of churro. It's a bad mix. And the kids, they get too close to the bars, and then the monkey grabs something. And next thing you know, I got pieces of a Powerpuff three-ring binder floating in me.
Oh, that's sad.
You know, talk about a thankless job. I never realized how low on the food chain you really are, but being poo is just gotta suck.
It's a long, dark journey.
If you take one thing away from the Kevin and Bean show today, it's that being poo would suck.
It's not easy being monkey loaf.
No, it's not. Now, let me ask you this question I've always wondered. I've never had the opportunity to pose it before. Where'd all the peanuts come from?
You know, people feeding them.
I see.
Right.
I see. All right.
If you're laying gorilla cable, It's a long, dark journey.
I bet it is.
Bad enough being primate pie.
Sure.
But you think you get to the light at the end of the tunnel, and next thing you're going 100 miles an hour at some four-year-old.
Yeah, that seems bad.
I understand.
Wow, we feel for you, Pooh.
Cut it. Oh, don't feel for me. That's gross.
Okay.
Okay, right.
All right.
All right, well, fantastic. I got to be honest. I'm surprised that you answered the phone, that you talked to us, but you're very kind. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Just stop talking inanimate things. It's dumb.
All right.
All right, we will.
Thanks, Pooh.
Right. Bye-bye, Pooh.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Many new details have unfolded on Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Housekeeper's Love Child. We've got those for you coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, joins us later today, too. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, welcome our friend Omar Khan to the studio. Hi, Omar. How are you?
What's happening, Lops?
How do you feel it's going, bringing Lop back?
It's huge.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, it's huge.
Because I'm only hearing it from you at this point.
Oh, No. I got people emailing me on parody song ideas. The next one coming up is going to be a parody of LMFAO Shots.
Can't wait.
Lops, 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 Lops. And somebody emailed me this morning, we're going to do Hanson Mbop. Lop, boopity, boopity.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I can't wait to hear
that. A lot of support.
Your version of that.
Yep.
Well, the reason Omar is here today is it's the gift that keeps on giving, is that he did Cucamonga Heat. He's the genius. He's the auteur behind Cucamonga Heat. Orson Welles had Citizen Kane. Omar has Cucamonga Heat.
That's right.
Explain to folks who maybe it's been a while or they've never heard the recap of this movie. How did this come about,
I was taking some broadcasting courses, and one of the assignments was to create something on and slap it on film.
Right.
Just anything. And
they gave you no guidelines?
No guidelines. Okay. You could do a reality show, game show, whatever, just slap it on film, turn it in, and they're going to preview it in class. So we decided to come up with a movie, and all the dudes in my group were procrastinators. We shot and edited this in 2 days.
No way! How did you get all the way through it?
You can't tell. It's so pro.
Sound effects are terrible. What's the storyline, the underlying storyline?
The underlying storyline is that there's this guy, Mr. Khan, who did something wrong by this guy. So the guy who works for him, so he decides to get him back.
Okay.
So he sets up this fake drug deal, and he's going to double cross him.
Oh no!
And then now,
excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt. Who were your influences here? Because it's very Tarantino-esque when I watch it.
Take it easy.
I made it in 99. I think Pulp Fiction came out in 96, 94, something like that. So it was huge. Oh, it was the exact ripoff of Pulp Fiction. I used so much of the same music. I mean, yeah.
I thought I was watching Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's that slick, right?
Yeah, it really is.
For sure.
Yeah.
So at the very end, it all goes wrong. Mr. Khan doesn't end up killing the guy. There's a shootout.
You don't remember,
do
you?
No, I was on a lot of drugs.
There's a car chase that lasts about 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. But it was awesome.
Yeah, sure.
It was the best.
Right. And then
they get in a shootout. Mr. Khan ends up killing one of the guys he wants to
kill. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
I haven't seen it yet.
But one of these other guys comes and kills Mr. Khan and takes all his money at the end.
Oh,
that was a twist at the end.
What a twist.
Oh,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah. What grade did you get?
I was actually the best in the class.
Yes!
I did score very well.
What a crappy class that was.
Now, we've often said that the only way to enjoy this movie is to be blind, Omar. And fortunately, there is a blind movie reviewer that we have been in touch with over the years here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His name is Jay Forey. And we caught up with him a few weeks ago as he reviewed Thor. And it occurred to us at that time that maybe he ought to have a look, no pun intended, at your movie, Cucamonga Heat. And Jay joins us from blindsidereviews.com right now. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey,
man.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good. Take it easy.
He's already excited because Cucamonga Heat was so awesome.
Now, Jay, you've been doing reviews for a long time of films that you never see. How long has it been since somebody has come to you and said, hey, we'd like you to review this movie for us?
It happens every once in a while. Yeah, I've actually been reviewing movies for 12 years for the Broadcast Film Critics Association, and so I receive screeners all the time. So this is not uncommon.
All right, okay. I have to ask a question, and this is just generic. We ask this of everyone. Are you drunk right now?
It probably would have helped watching the movie.
Yeah,
hey! Oh! Is he tipping his head here or what? So this is another question that I've been dying to ask you, Jay. Is you use a computer? You're able to watch this on YouTube or something like that? When we send it, we just send you a link and you're able to watch it on a computer?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I have several computers, and the computers actually talk to me, obviously, when I type and stuff, email and stuff. And yeah, you're right. I just click it on and I'm able to watch it.
Did you click on this movie and when you were watching, did your computer go, this is bad?
That happened. I had to keep turning on. I kept shutting off.
Yeah. I would imagine you would hope to be deaf once you saw Kookaburra Heat.
How
like,
dare
please.
You.
All right. What do you have some clips, Kevin? Maybe we can kind of go through the movie and get Jay's professional movie critic opinion on what he heard.
The first clip, I'm afraid we're going to need Omar to give us a short synopsis of because, well, you'll hear.
You're the man, Mr. Compton?
Yeah.
What is your name?
Parker.
You okay? Don't worry about my name, okay? You're here to do a job. It's none of your business. We go now.
All right, so they're standing under Niagara Falls. And
why can't we hear anything, Omar? Why did you like anything?
Yeah, that sound quality is great. Are you kidding? All we had, you remember
you
those?
You can't even make out the sound of what they're saying.
Remember those huge VHS cameras where you would put the VH tape in it?
Right.
So the shot I wanted was a long shot. So that's it. We get one take on everything. We did one take on there was no
was
going
it
back.
A windy day?
It was actually indoors. Yeah, that was indoors.
Now, let me ask our movie critic, Jay. Did you have any trouble following the plot line of this movie, only being able to hear it?
I had a hard time following the plot line of that part. Right, I thought somebody was in a box. I could not understand.
Wait. You thought somebody was ready to box?
No, I thought they were spent in a box.
Oh, in a box.
He said, yeah.
You're right. I couldn't understand hardly at all what they were saying.
Okay.
And so in that part there, yeah, I could follow the plot line to a certain extent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Do you have something else here?
We do. We have a couple of clips. This
before
is the,
I go on,
yeah.
When I first started watching this film, I started thinking, now, somebody in the fifth grade should not be using this kind of language.
That's correct, yes.
I agree.
Right. You didn't realize Omar was in college when he made the movie.
Yeah. This is a college movie?
College, yeah.
Wow. And you got the best grade in the class.
Absolutely.
All right, now this is the classic scene that we always play with Omar, and he's on the phone, and he's trying to get the double cross
going. Setting it up, yeah.
Okay, now before you hit the audio, I have to ask, was this the only... You had 30 seconds to finish this movie, so this was the take you had to use, or is this the best you could do back then?
No, this was the best I could do back then. And the
or
problem
did
was,
you think nailed it?
No. The problem with this was actually a voiceover dub because you could tell the quality is really good. So I was at home using two voiceovers in my little DJ mixer I had at home.
Right.
So it was on the fly. I had to do it in one take. So whatever I got, that was it. We were using.
Okay. Yeah. Here you go. This is you on the phone.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right. So I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Hang on. I got to listen to some slow jams.
Yeah. You know. Right, straight rip off of Pulp Fiction right there. Yeah.
Jay from Blindside Reviews. What do you think of the movie at this point when you're watching?
Well, I was at that point, I was thinking, did I have it somehow on fast motion or speed or something like that?
No.
Is the guy speaking back to him? I'm going, is this a one-sided conversation?
Well,
on the phone.
You see,
what's going on?
You see one-sided conversations a lot, but at least they pause as if the other person's able to say anything.
They didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Were you, I know you mentioned you thought it was fifth graders, but weren't you astonished at how bad the acting was in this thing, Jay?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. At one point, you know, I thought the acting by the drug dealer was actually pretty good, and I thought, well, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not acting. You know, I don't know.
Well, maybe this is real.
They are my friends.
Yeah. It's very true. He casts real people.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the drug deal gone bad.
It's about time. Let's get to business. You got the stuff? I got the money. Let me see stuff first.
Right. Okay.
The acting was made.
Hey, let me handle this, okay?
You're on there?
Count it.
Let me see stuff.
Man, you're gonna like that.
I'll be judge of this.
What the mother?
Now what's happening there?
Is that when you go on the car chase?
That's when, we go on the car chase. I'm not in that scene. That's the drug dealer that I want to kill and the guy who I hired to double-cross him. So he gives him fake drugs.
Jay, how frustrating are long car chase scenes in a movie when you're a blind guy trying to review it? I mean, that's just got to be like the biggest waste of your time ever.
That is true. It is a waste during normal movies, even then it's somewhat of a waste. This was just agonizing.
Yeah, yeah, it was agonizing.
This was the highlight of the movie.
No, the highlight of the movie is when who's on their knees and the guy's got a gun to his head.
That's Eric.
Okay, Eric's
that's the guy who I hired. Yeah.
On the knees?
Yeah.
And somebody else has a gun to his head. And you hear like 7-8 bullets like this. And then you look up and it's point blank. The gun is touching the guy's head.
That's the next scene you have. So.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Because we're thinking, how many shots does it take at that range to drop a guy? The guy's still just standing there. He's fine.
I'm going to cut one finger. Done at the time.
All right. I'll tell you, man. Who sent you?
It was Mr. Khan.
Mr.
What the?
Awesome.
Mr.
You, huh?
Get on your knees now. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, take care of this bitch.
Now, the important thing to understand in all that is the guy that's on his knees is still on his knees upright.
He doesn't fall till about 2 seconds after the sound effect hit.
All of those shots.
Yeah.
Does he have a head left? Let me ask
you. Of course.
Yeah, totally.
He's fine. Omar didn't even use ketchup.
You know what I mean?
No. There's no blood from that many shots close to the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
now, Jay, I know, Jay, you give a letter grade of all the movies that you review for blindsidereviews.com. What did you come up with for Cucamonga Heat by director Omar Khan?
Before I do this quickly, the one of the problems was that the editing could have been so much more better. The music just, it was choppy going out. At one point, I thought it was some porno music flipping in there.
It probably was
porno music.
It probably was.
Anyway, obviously this is an amateur movie. I would give this an F rating.
How dare you?
An F rating if it's a, one of my movies that we see. But I'm going to be, and I'll give this an F plus. So,
okay,
F plus. There you go. Yeah. All right. Because he was an amateur at the time.
I would like to
see Omar remake this movie now.
I think I'm gonna get Kevin Smith to direct this one.
I'll bet it'll be. I want you to do it.
Okay.
And I want to see how much change there's gonna be because I'm guessing none.
Will you be in it?
Sure.
All right. We're in.
And I'll be the first to review it.
For okay.
You. All right. BlindsideReviews.com, North America's only blind movie reviewer. Jay, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Abid Show.
Thank you. Bye.
Ralph brought us a story in the showbiz about True Life, that show on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy named Brady Good who has become an internet sensation, I guess you would say, for Instagram. He's got, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram.
What kind of pictures does he put up? Why are his photos so popular?
I don't know. A lot of people say he's hot.
Yeah, that's okay. It.
So I'm sure most of these are little girls. But
aren't there lots of attractive people who put pictures on Instagram?
Yes. But this guy was featured on MTV Bean because fame is ruining his life.
All right.
Oh, I'm going to love this.
Fame is ruining his life. Here's a little bit of that.
I'm Brady, and I went from 0 to 160,000 followers on Instagram in a year. You mean to tag y'all?
Yes.
Some days, this kind of notoriety is awesome. Oh my God! Oh my God!
But there are times when it's a huge challenge.
School has to come first. These little followers, they're not going to help you get a good job.
Constantly checking Instagram is distracting me from school.
I already love them.
Well, there's nothing to do about that.
First of all, there's no way to change that.
No.
Right. So what are you supposed to do?
I'm starting to wonder if my girlfriend is just into me because of my fame.
Right.
There's nothing about you that I don't like.
Well, that's just false, first of all.
Yeah, now I don't believe her either.
Yeah,
but he's so famous, you guys.
Brady Good is his name, and Dave the King of Mexico has lined him up for us to talk to this morning. Oh. Hi, Brady.
Good morning.
So, Brady, it sounds like it's pretty tough for you to be so famous.
It's hard.
Right.
Because I'm really famous.
Uh-huh.
All the girls love me.
Right.
Uh-huh. I went from, like, 0 to 200,000 followers on Instagram.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because fame gets in the way. I don't know if people are want to be really my friend or they just want to be famous.
Isn't it possible in this world of, what are we at now, 7 billion people, that perhaps you're not as famous as you think?
I'm pretty famous.
Right.
I just hope that famous people can relate to me because they know how hard it is to be famous like I am. Hold on a second.
Okay.
What just happened?
I just took a selfie of you and me on the phone.
What, why?
You guys want me to tag you?
No, you can't see us.
But still, I could tag the phone.
Right, but
who wants
to see a picture of you on the phone, Brady?
200,000 people.
Wow. Okay, here's my question for you then, sir. If the fame is bringing you down, if it's causing your life to be difficult, why don't you just stop putting pictures on Instagram?
Because I'm famous and people love me on Instagram.
Right.
And this will help me in my career that I hope to launch.
What career is that?
I'd like to be on a reality show.
Okay, that's your job.
People who are famous on Instagram.
So it has to be a show that is exactly your life.
Well, I don't have anything else really.
Right,
but I'm on Instagram.
You are on Instagram. All right.
Yeah, just took another picture. Y'all want me to tag you guys?
Not really. I think we're good.
My friends, they love me because I'm famous.
Right, right.
Well, I'm afraid sometimes that they just want me for my huge fame and not for who I really am.
Well, you sound like you have a sparkling personality. I don't know why somebody wouldn't want to hang out with you, Brady.
I just took a picture of that insult.
Now, Brady, how old are you? 16? Is that what I heard?
I'm 16 years old.
Okay, so that clip that we heard from MTV's True Life, was that your mom coming down on you about your schoolwork? How are you handling that?
Yeah, mom wants me to do schoolwork.
Right.
And she says all my time on Instagram is taking away from my education.
It probably is. She's probably right.
And I'm like, I'm all
right. But can't
you? I'm like,
but can't you? Wait, your mom makes the same noise back?
Yeah.
Can't you do your schoolwork and be on Instagram?
But I think my mother needs to realize I'm really dumb. So what good is school going to do me, really?
Well, right. It might help a little.
I'm better off just taking pictures of myself on Instagram.
Ah, well, you got that going.
And just going on a reality show.
Right. Okay. That sounds like a good long-term plan.
That is quite a plan.
And and then, you know, I'll probably be famous forever after that. Right?
Well, I was gonna ask how long you think that'll last. I mean, at some point, you're not going to be a cute teenager. You're just going to be a sad old man with no skills and no education.
But I have a lot of followers on Instagram.
Well, probably not.
Just took a picture of that insult, too. Want me to tag it?
No.
Look at all the people who love me on Instagram.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, you're popular.
Oh. And you're popular.
Oh. What? No. What happened? Now you're feeling sick. I expect this. Now, what happens? Two men enter, one man leaves?
Yo,
are they
turn
fight
my
to the
headphones
death?
Up. Turn my headphones up in this bitch, man. So
They're going to fight. That's why they're here today, right, Kevin?
Hey, Jay Morris.
I'm Adam Carolla.
Hey, Adam Carolla.
Hey, I'm Jay Moore.
And together, we're Adam Carolla and Jay Moore.
Bean, how are the wife and pigs?
I know you love that line. Everybody's fine, Adam.
I want
everyone to
greet you that way, and after you're dead, actually, for 6 months after you die.
Okay,
I don't. I think it's very funny.
I think it's very funny. I don't want to bum anyone out, but the pigs have been dead for a number of years now. I don't have any pigs.
That's so sad.
Hold on, I died.
Yeah,
it kind of just hurts me now when you bring it up. That's the only thing I'd say.
Wait, I don't know. Bean owned pigs.
Oh,
you're one of those creepy pig people?
Oh, yeah.
It's a rescue.
Pigs, sheep,
donkeys,
cows.
You know, I think Adam probably agrees with me, and I'm not making a joke. When I see pigs, I get hungry.
Me too.
I can go all the way to bacon at a pig running across the screen in a commercial. Uh-huh. I go, oh, yeah.
Oh, you know who your heart really goes out to is being Samoan neighbors. So you're just going to throw them away? just going to...
But you buried them.
You're
going to
bury
died,
them in a fire pit or just bury
no,
them?
No, just in the yard.
But with a fire,
buried.
Right?
No, just, they, guys holding like, a pineapple.
Do you need an apple?
And a Kingsford bag and a pineapple? Yeah. Well, you're just going to toss them?
Just put them in the ground so the maggots can eat them? Or, so that's what you're going to do?
You don't burn your pets when they're gone. Give them a respectful
I'm going on a
burial.
Pig run right now. Should I keep going or are you just going to throw these ones away?
Look, my wife sent me out for Keystone Light and pigs. But you can save me a trip.
Actually, Tampons, Keystone Light, and pigs, but I feel like we're close enough. So you're throwing both of them away. Is that what you're saying? Because I'm getting two.
Listen to this, Jay Moore. Back in the 90s, when I still lived in California, Adam, along with Jimmy Kimmel, came to my barn raising. They helped build my barn.
R-A-Z-E?
My cows and my pigs.
See what I did there?
That's a euphemism for we
changed raise to raise.
We had to do what we had. We had to do what we had to do to get on the air back then. Yeah. So Bean would go, "I'm having a barn raising in the bathroom closest to Trip Reeves' office." You in? I mean, Jimmy just look at each other and go, "We got to do what
we
got to do."
It
was a real hootenanny.
Adam Carolla and Jay Moore are here not because they like us, not because they love getting up at this time of day, but because they have a fantastic show planned for this weekend, Saturday night. You guys are going to be at the Wiltern along with your good friend Bill Simmons, who, of course, from Grantland.com and ESPN. He's tremendous. The three of you for one night only at the Wiltern Theater. Tickets are on sale now through LiveNation.com. How did this one come together? Because it doesn't seem like, Adam, you need Jay, and Jay, you certainly don't need Adam.
No, I definitely need that. Adam does not need me. Adam does theaters all over this damn country. America has spoken. I am a club comic.
What happened with Jay, and people ask me this all the time, and I think it's an interesting topic. Jay had a reputation for being an a-hole.
Right.
And,
of course.
And at some point, I actually asked him about it on the air about 7-8 years ago.
You
I
asked
said,
Jay Moore about being having the a-hole.
Yeah, it was refreshing. He goes, "What is your exact words were, this is probably 8 years ago.
Right.
You said, what is it about you that other comics have the hardest time admitting you're funny?
Yes.
And I said, I think it's just because I was a real a-hole for a long time. And he goes, no, I'll tell comics, Jay Moore was just in here, he was hilarious. And they'll go, eh. I'm like, no, it's not a poll I'm taking. He was just here. And like, I kind of can't get my mind right. It was so, you were like super cool to me. And I just came forward and said, I've been a jerk for a very long time.
He said I was an a-hole. I spent the better part of my career being an a-hole.
All right, already.
And I said,
all right.
But then he turned into the nicest guy in the world, and I had a lot of fun working with him. And I said, I want to do the show, and I did the Wiltern, and I did it alone, and it was a pain in the ass. And I thought, selling tickets, you know, it's a big room. And I said, this time when I do it, I want to do it with somebody else. I want to do it with someone who was formerly an a-hole.
That's a huge place to fill for comedy. That's a big room.
There's only 40 tickets left. Hey, is there going to be Hey, is there going to be a merch table at this place?
No, Norm, there'll
be. No merch table. I have
might
t-shirts.
Sell a mug or a t-shirt or something like
that. And a merch table?
Well, it's just a table.
What, the H?
Well, no, it's a table, but you can put anything you want on it.
Oh, all right.
It's not a merch table.
It's a table with things you sell if you feel like it.
Well, it's called a merch table when you put merch on it, but if you put coffee on it.
Yeah, it's a coffee table.
Right.
I don't want to sell those shirts, you know, but just a shirt with like a werewolf on it, you know, those wolf shirts.
Yeah, this probably have my name on it or something like that.
Why?
Because it'd be my merch.
I was just on stage. Now you can wear me home, you know.
No, it's a table with merch.
It's getting hot. It's not even here, you know.
How's it going to work, Norm Macdonald, Jay Moore, and Adam Carolla, apparently all in the studio with us? How's it going to work? Like, are you guys going to come out together and just riff? Or, Jay, do you do a set and then Adam comes out?
We're going to play Huey Lewis in the News. It's going to be an 80s montage of Adam and I trying on different hats
You saw that scene in Pretty Woman, right? It's like that.
If I could have gotten overalls out, it would have been so funny. Yeah, I'm going out first, and Bill Simmons will be there.
Yeah, I think what we're actually Jay and I were going to talk about in the parking lot after the show, but Jay's going to go out and do a half hour, 25 minutes, something like that. Then I'm going to go out there, and I think me and Bill will do one of our basic cable movie breakdowns.
Okay.
Nice. Possibly Cliffhanger. Haven't decided yet.
One of the
yet.
Best movies of all time.
And, oh my God, I had to almost fire somebody who worked at my podcast yesterday when I said, look, go find Cliffhanger and tell me your five favorite scenes from Cliffhanger. And he said, I've never seen Cliffhanger.
That guy should be fired on spot so fast that he's out of work immediately.
I agree.
I'll tell you the best part about Cliffhanger is Janine Turner has a boy haircut.
Yeah, but still looks hot.
Real hot. Like, where's that little boy? Get over here. Tell him to take his shirt off.
The way she brushes the horse?
No kidding. It's equine porn.
So I said, all right,
she didn't turn this into him.
I'm in a good mood. I'm not going to fire you, but go get Cliffhanger. Right. And then he got Cliffhanger. And then we were watching Cliffhanger. And I said, you know, the henchman in Cliffhanger, I think he's the same dude in Roadhard. Is that the same dude from Roadhard? And he went, I don't know. I've never
seen. Oh.
I mean, Roadhouse. Sorry, I'm talking about my movie. I've never seen.
FundAnything.com.
Thank you. I've never seen Roadhouse. I said, you've never seen Roadhouse, and you've never seen a Cliffhanger.
You should have fired him.
I should have. I just backhanded him.
Yeah, all right. Well,
he got to keep his job.
All right.
So we'll break that down, and then I'll do a half hour, 40 minutes, and then Jay and I will come out, and I think we'll do a
is
little.
Is there some sort of soft shoe involved? Or
we'll do a little Big Mama's Got It All, which is my favorite. Because as you know, as I've said, my parents were horrible. You guys know this, right?
Yes.
And they offered almost no support for me at all.
But you seem to think that's the way it should still be.
Well, that's the way it is.
I've heard you talk a lot about how parents are way too, they confirm that you're a great person and you're not.
You got to slow down there, Kevin Ryder. Don't go back to my big white son, Adam Carolla.
So, Big Mama Got It All is my large woman of color who I always wanted for a mother.
Riley Cooper is cute.
That would always protect me. Would always protect me no matter what. Whereas I don't feel like my actual biological mom would do that.
Right.
And Big Mama's Got It All. Like, for instance, a lot of people have been talking trash about me on the internet these days, making fun
of me. I'll tell you one thing. There's a couple alternative Jewish comics that better watch their backs.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to open up a can and whoop everything here. I'm back about yourself. You know, coming at him, Carolla. That's my bio. Hey, I'm with Big Mama Got It All. I'm your father.
Big Mama Got All has I didn't know you guys were married.
Yeah, I got her pregnant, Adam Carolla, and you came out. I'm your biological father.
I'm at the
Wiltern Theater August 3rd, and there's about 45 tickets left. Scoop them up.
I'm in my 40s. I've never even met you before.
Yeah. I took you to get your teeth done.
All right.
Big
listen.
Mama said to get my teeth done.
Shut up. When Bean's trying to say something. Ah,
Big Mama.
Here's Bean now. Johnny.
Big Papa.
Hey, he's going to tell us about a barn raising.
Norm MacDonald, Adam Carolla, Jay Moore, they're all here.
What happened to me? I'm like substatus.
Let him do the plug.
Take a very quick break. I can't emphasize enough what a great night Saturday night is going to be at the Wiltern to see all of these crazy people on one stage for one night only. Saturday night, 8:00 at the Wiltern. Tickets available on sale right now at livenation.com. More with our guests in a moment right after this on K-Rock.
Jay Moore has joined us in the studio.
Yeah, everybody got pregnant. I'm Adam Carolla's biological father.
Jay Moore along with Adam Carolla and ESPN's Bill Simmons at the Wiltern Saturday night. I can't think of a better time than going to see that show. Kevin, I bet you'd be there if you weren't going to freaking Lollapalooza.
I would. If I wasn't going to be in Chicago, I'd totally be there.
LiveNation.com.
Oh, sorry.
LiveNation.com. LiveNation.com. That's where you go to buy your tickets. Bill Simmons, Adam Carolla, Jay Moore at the Wiltern this Saturday. Yes, Jay.
I was thinking of having Brad Williams come out after my set for like just 10 minutes just so Simmons can't follow him. Just have a midget do
the Gangnam Style,
and then, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Simmons. Bring out Jalen Rose. Bring out the whole crew.
Adam, have you had Brad on your podcast yet?
Yeah, I have, and he's funny. I mean, most like comedians that have something going on physically that just becomes their entire act, and for him, it's only like 82% more jokes.
But no, in fairness, it's all you want to know about. When you're talking to him, you're like, wait a minute. When you have sex, and he's just... I like how he's masterfully created a set where in the first 12 minutes, he takes every dwarf question out of your head
so
he can get to work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I'm just... I was up front with him. I was just like, what do my balls smell like? I want to know. I can't get that.
I know the answer just from your Malibu Mangria party.
No, but when we do Jasmine. It, there's other juices flowing. I just mean casually, like in a work setting.
Jasmine,
you know,
and
Vicks
Vapor Rub.
Adam, speaking of Brad and other comics, I'm not sure I understand. Of course, we've been talking about your Roadhard movie, your FundAnything.com, where you can go and help Ace Man make his movie. And I believe you're in the home stretcher. Aren't you like less than $50,000 away from hitting that $1 million mark?
Yeah, we're knocking on the door of $1 million.
Yeah, very close. You're having 20 comedians in your movie. Please tell me how you're going to do that and not have a movie that's 30 hours long.
Oh, it'll be 33 hours long, actually. It'll be like that R. Kelly video.
Trapped in the closet?
It never ends. Yeah. Well, more defecation, less pee. Yeah. we are doing a movie where I'm playing a stand-up. Jay Moore's going to be in it as well, and there's going to be lots of opportunities for lots of other comics, because every time I go to a club, there'll be somebody finishing their set or starting their set or up on stage while I'm at the bar or whatever it is. So we're not going to watch 20 comedians do their 20
minutes. How many scenes
minutes.
Will Mangria be on someone's desk as you talk to your agent? He's like, hold on, Adam, I'm finishing up this Mangria. I'll be right with you. You know what? I think my muscles are bigger. Go ahead.
The penis is wider.
You're going to get to the point where you have so many items to promote, you're not going to be able to do them all at one time.
Right? Let me ask the boys in the room a question. And if Lisa wants to jump in, she can. I want to stay clear of HR. Wider or longer? Well, you get one wish. That's your wish.
I get one wish?
Yeah. Because I posed this question to my wife, and the answer was pretty weird.
Well, first off, just to be clear, how I measure length. Center of the anus to just past the tip.
Yeah.
Okay, so
How far past?
Just past.
I know, but that's how far.
Well, that's up to you, but just past. Whatever you need, but just past. But center of the anus, no cheating, no going to the ball side of the anus. Center, and then just past the tip.
Okay. I use only the part...
I go for width.
Width. I use only the part that's actually inside ever at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about a half inch. Mm-hmm. That's far, as long as I last.
What was your beautiful bride's
answer? So you said width. I said width.
We said width.
I said width. Bean?
I think you have to go width. I think that's the only thing.
Kevin?
You have to go width.
I can't go more width.
I'm riding spinners. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, the man's still got to wear pants. Come
on. Lisa May can weigh in on this. My wife, I thought for sure width was it. And my wife goes, no. Like, no. Like, as if it was really going to happen. Like, no, don't choose yet. Don't do it, Norton. You got to go length, Norton. I go, why? She goes, because that way it would hurt a little bit.
Wow.
All right.
I like
that's
that.
That's strong.
Yeah. Lisa, your thoughts?
In? I'm going with because that way it hurts a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know what? Then I have to take from that that I'm wide enough. But not long enough.
Well, you do. Yeah. I'm glad that we've solved one of the great mysteries of the world, then, that width versus length. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, hold on a second, Bean.
Yeah, Bean, Jesus.
You know, my plan... I don't know if we've talked about it. I think we've talked about this on the air. It's to do the water displacement test.
Oh, yeah.
That factors in width and length, just total displacement.
And weight.
And weight,
yeah.
Every man in America, lay down on a sheet of aluminum, put it through a hole, put it into a graduated cylinder, see how much water you displace.
Somewhere Jim Norton's getting an erection.
And then you get a windbreaker made up. Not with your number. Not with the amount that you displaced, with your ranking. Number one is number one. That's the dude who took out the most water. That's
right.
The number one. And then you, well, there's 150 million dudes in North America, in United States. You are going to be either one to 125, 150 million. How about walking around with that jersey?
You have to wear the jersey, though? Even if you're 150 million?
It's a windbreaker. And yes, it'd be funny to see everyone's rank. And there'd be a whole top 10 club, and that guy'd be booked on all the talk shows. And each year when the new rankings came out, because there'd be a new dude turning 18, you know,
sure.
Millions of dudes turning 18 every year, see if the guy held on to his ranking.
I love that Adam prefaced this by saying, I think you and I spoke about this on the air already, but I'm not sure.
And we did.
Yes,
oh, you did?
We did, yeah. I love this idea, right? Yeah, the windbreaker?
I like to think I'm in the upper 100 million.
Yeah, that's your point. No, you could be 27 million and still be in
27 million would be great.
You'd be in rarefied air.
All right.
That's right.
Well, I don't see anything standing in the way of
you. I don't see anything
in the way of you implementing that plan, Adam. It sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah. You could add a Kickstarter account for, you know, erection measurements instead of your Road Hard movie.
The good news is all the guys in the NBA could just keep their jersey number.
Oh, Adam corrupt. Not Dirk Nowitzki. He ain't 41.
Oh, no. All right, you're right.
Poor Dirk.
You're right. All right.
41 million. Oh, burn!
Adam Carolla is here. Jay Moore as well. They're going to be on stage along with Bill Simmons at the Wiltern this Saturday night. By the way, what's the easiest website for people who just want to go see the trailer for Road Hard and donate, Adam? Where should they go for that? Just adamcarolla.com? Is that best?
They can go there. They can go to fundanything.com and see it there. And, the Cranston video is really
We want to talk about that really a little bit
exciting.
When we come back, all right?
All right.
We'll return.
I gotta go to work. I
want to
say goodbye to you boys and gal, and tell you that I love you. You guys are always good to me.
We love you.
But Saturday night, you're bringing it, right, Jay?
Are you out your mind? Of course, everyone's gonna bring it. Come on, now he's in the bringing it business.
is.
Thank you, Jay. Let's talk about this woman on a flight.
Let's.
We have all been on flights where people get scared. Mm-hmm. Some people will shout every once in a while. But this was a flight from Miami to Tampa, which is probably, what, an hour flight, maybe?
Yeah.
Miami to Tampa?
I would guess less.
Less, okay. But the entire flight, this woman was screaming. So she was losing it. First of all, she was walking up and down the aisle, and nobody knows if what she was saying is true or not. But she was asking people on the plane to pray for her mother because she just passed away. Now, okay.
So she was distraught. She's in a bad emotional place.
Right, but again, like, she crazy, so who knows if that's accurate or
right.
not.
Hard to believe something like this would happen in Florida.
It really is. So you're going to hear the woman screaming in this tape, and I just tweeted a link to it. There's a guy that was sitting across the aisle, and he took his iPhone out, and he got it on video.
God bless him.
And man, oh man, I mean, this is going to be hard to listen to for 2 minutes, let alone the whole flight.
Is that what she did?
40 minutes or however long the flight is the whole time.
Oh my God.
Listen to this. Okay.
What is she saying?
She's saying, you're my savior.
Why didn't they make her get off the plane? Why didn't the flight attendant turn that car around and take it back to the driveway?
They should have just opened the door and pushed. Listen, you're my savior. So later she starts shouting, God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. That's how you know that. But this is literally the first thing on the tape. No, seriously, if that happens on a plane you're on,
what? But
don't
did
you
they
freak?
Do?
That's miserable.
They
That's
did
miserable
nothing.
For they everybody on the plane.
Do anything?
They did nothing. The guy who's taking the video starts to kind of give us the play-by-play.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
She's been freaking
God,
out for the
savior.
Last 20 God, minutes.
She's been doing that for 20 minutes.
That's when you wish you'd bought those noise-canceling earphones.
No, I wish I could sit by that woman. I love
no, you
her
don't.
So much.
No, you would hate her. You'd put a pillow over her face and try to smother
maybe.
Her. You really would.
I'd love her for 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
But maybe not long.
She started off by telling everyone to pray for her mother who just passed away. Then she went up and down the aisles telling everyone to pray for her mother. And then she's been like this for the last, 15, 20 minutes.
Wow. That woman's having a breakdown.
You think?
Does she have Tourette's by any chance?
I don't know. By the way, remind me later today when we have time to tell you about watching Captain Phillips next to a woman who did have Tourette's.
And, awesome.
And someone's going to have to catch me up on the movie. I assume he got off the boat. I don't know, because I was fascinated with her. But this is crazy. She's just repeating it over and over, and it sounds like she's just freaking out like she's going to die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
Now, how many times have you complained about a flight you're on? Oh, this woman, this guy, they wouldn't stop talking. Never like this.
God, no. You're my savior. God, you're my savior.
I don't know if
God,
this guy next
savior.
To her knows her God, or not. He's been trying to calm her down God, the whole time.
Can you imagine sitting next to her?
No, you would have
way,
to get up.
Please note how loud this tape is of this woman. And this isn't the guy sitting next to her who's recording it.
This is the guy across the aisle.
Across the
recording.
Aisle, yeah. So God, imagine how loud it must have been for
God,
them.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. So God, you're my savior.
I think she said so effing scared. I think.
Oh, my God.
God, you're my savior. Oh, my God. God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior. God,
this is this is an American Airlines flight. The flight attendant should have done something.
What?
Did
though?
They even try to do something?
Yeah, they tried to calm her down, they tried to help her out, whatever, but I mean
I
at
know,
some
like,
point
make her go sit in the back with them.
Yes, that's what you do is you take her to the back of the plane or to the front of the plane and you put her away from the passengers as much as you can.
Yeah, that's
at a minimum.
Not fair.
I'd say you put her at the back of the plane. You don't put her anywhere near the pilot.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So the tape is almost over, but
ask me to make sure she doesn't like try to go to the back door and open it. If she tries to go back, I'm going to block her.
So this guy is now on alert that if she tries to go back to the back of the plane, he needs to block her because she's going to she might try and open the door.
God, you're my savior. God, you're my savior.
So she toned it down a little now. So like 40 minutes.
You know,
that.
They need to carry trank darts.
They really do.
Something.
Trank dart is awesome.
Right?
Yeah, like
down.
A blow dart. And then she just goes to sleep.
Do you think that
there was someone to meet her when the plane landed? Someone official?
I hope so.
Her name is now on the no-fly zone?
I certainly hope so.
She needs to drive back to wherever she came from.
Remix! What a great flight that was.
Oh, man.
Good. 7KROQ, and what you're about to hear is a sign that I have too much time on my hands. Now, I see my wife is on hold. Why?
Hey.
That's fantastic.
That's always
news.
The best thing.
It's never good news.
It is for us.
Babe?
Hi.
What are you doing up so early? You should be in bed, enjoying yourself, sleeping, resting.
Well, first of all, I'm going to England today, so I'm because I'm getting the hell out of here and away from you.
She's leaving for a week without me. Very happy to do so, by the way.
I'm calling for the reason that we all are always calling. He's going over the edge.
Well, the warmth between you two in this relationship really makes me want to go out and get married.
You know what? I love him. I do. He's a wonderful man. He's got my kids saying, come on, get your groove on, Mom, which is a little scary.
Yeah, that's true.
But the last
call you make before you go away for a week of not seeing your husband is, wow, is this guy a doofus? I mean, that's what's happening here,
so
right?
When you say I'm going to England to get away from you, that's meant with love.
She says it with love. Trust me, it would sound a lot different if it wasn't.
Okay, so here's the other day what happened.
What?
I'm sitting at my desk trying to figure out how, once again, anybody could spend $600 on Amazon.com in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And how I'm pulling money out of the kids' college accounts. And I hear him in there yelling, ah! And I'm thinking, money must have sent porn on the internet again. Because that's normally what that means.
By the way, the one you sent yesterday?
How amazing was that?
Oh, God.
Mikey, what is wrong with you?
We can't even go into that right now.
Oh, that wasn't good. Yeah, it was just a big black woman beating on people. Okay.
Normally, when he's in there yelling like that, I usually let it go for a few minutes because that normally is what it means.
Yeah.
But he's going on and on. But you don't understand. I thought, I better go in there. And he's sitting in his chair and he's got this look on his face. And he has this look like, the world does not understand me. And I said, Lammy, honey, what's the matter? And he said, they won't listen. And I said, what? He said, I'm trying to order a new shirt, which is shocking.
Yeah.
And he said, they won't deliver it. And I said, why not? He said, they won't put to the man of all men.
On the package?
On the package.
Addressed to.
Well, here's the thing.
Send to the man of all men.
All men.
This I don't is know. Like the Duke of Tarzana, the conversation from a few months ago where Kevin calls and orders stuff on the internet and has them send it to silly names just because he can.
Just
because
it cracked me up. Yeah, the Duke and Dr. Kevin Ryder. So this guy, I put the man of all men, he calls me. I pick up the phone and goes, yeah, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such a company. You don't talk to people who you order stuff on the internet. That's the beauty of ordering stuff on the internet.
They do, and it's remarkably stupid.
So the guy calls me and he says, sir, I can't send this package to the man of all men. And
you're stunned that he called you at this point. Yeah. I'm surprised you even gave him a real phone number.
I never do.
And I was trying to let it sink in a little bit because I just thought, well... Because I've done this so many different times, they'll put anything you put. They'll put
Wait,
what...
Can I just interject here? How does he come up with the man of all men?
I don't know.
He's just sitting there going, hey, I got a good one.
Just came up. But anyway, before I could realize how stupid I am, or what I was doing, I was arguing with the guy, because technically, of course he can. Now, am I a jackass for arguing that point? Yes!
No, it's a matter of principle. That's what America's about, sending packages to silly names.
Oh, wait a minute, no it's not.
But before I could really think it through and just say,
send it to my real name, I don't care. Which is the truth, I really
didn't. Because the shirt is what's important here, you just want to get your shirt.
No, Bean, it's the principle of the thing. But I was kind of obsessed with this guy who didn't realize that the world's not going to end if he puts the man of all men. He was like, well, how do I know it'll get to you? And I said, it's the right address, I'm the only man here, send it.
Well, don't let me worry about that. That was your problem. Your answer should have been, because I am the man of all men.
Can you tell him that technically you're above him, you rule him because you're the man of all men, and he's
a
man?
So,
I was dumbfounded.
It makes you feel better. He even referenced to me. Bean told me it doesn't matter what the name is, it's the post office.
That's right. That is true.
Bean told me, and Bean would know.
I swear to God, you know the post office rules.
Bean would know that. I was just obsessed with the fact that this guy was now taking time out of his day to call and argue with me over putting that on the package.
Unlike you taking the time out of your day to sit there and argue back with him. That's very different.
Well,
that you can easily understand.
It caught me off guard. If I had 5 seconds to really consider it before he called, I would have gone, whatever, dude.
You know, you could have taken this time and not been late to work instead of taking time out of my day to sit there and go over with me. Why, the man. And then didn't you email Bean to get the post office?
We all got emails about it. We all did. Kevin was so insane. He sent out a press release.
I was so furious.
I just couldn't imagine that there was somebody out there who really was being this technical about the mail. It just cracks me up. So I argue with him and argue with him and argue with him. And finally, I just say, listen, just put it on the package and don't worry about it. It's not your job to worry about what the name is.
Good for you.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I'm with Kevin on this one.
All right. So then I write you guys email. I can't believe I just spent the last 5 minutes arguing with some idiot over the man of all men. What a stupid idiot this guy was.
This guy.
Yeah.
Not you.
Then my phone rings and it's this guy again. Sir? Yes. I'm like, really? I'm ready now to pounce with everything I have.
We just talked to another man of all men in Wisconsin, and you guys are going to have to work this out.
He's bigger than you are. Your credit card was declined.
I wonder if the man of all men really has a declined credit card. If you're the man of all men, really, wouldn't your credit cards go through all the time?
So now all of a sudden the roles are completely reversed. He's the man of all men, and I'm just a loser. So I say...
You can't be puffing up your chest and telling him what's what now.
Send it to the man of all men.
So I say to him, try it again. And he, of course, who's
the famous try it again line when your credit card doesn't work.
Of course. And he, who I've now pissed off, says calmly, I did, sir. It doesn't work. Thank you for your time. And he hangs up.
And then it occurred to me that I pretty much got what I deserved.
Yeah. Wow. That's the best story ever.
My credit card.
So you're not the man of all men now?
No. Not so much.
You are forbidden to ever ask for that name to be put on a package again.
He died. Can you imagine sitting at your house in your afternoon and hearing your husband screaming from the office, but I am the man of all men.
I mean, our theory has always been, Mel, that he has way too much time on his hands
way
at home.
Too much.
Yeah. You got to get it. Keep him busy. Just start a garden or something. Put him to work.
I need to spend a tiny amount of that time paying my credit card. That's what I need.
Ralph Graben, I'm giving you the honors of introducing our next guest because I know you've been a fan for years.
Well, I discovered him on the internet like most people. We saw his original video that he made for his classic tune, Average Homeboy. And then he came back, and his rap career was resurrected by all the people who watched that video. And now he is performing right here in Los Angeles tonight at the Whiskey A Go Go. Ladies and gentlemen, Deddy Blaze! Yeah! Is Deddy Blaze.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We just got Blaze. I can't believe we just got Blaze.
Wait, I don't think we've been Blazed yet.
We're Blazed. When he walks in the room, you get Blazed.
Is that when it happens? Because I always thought it was when you were there.
Well, you know what? If you watch the video, you've been Blazed.
Okay, I've been Blazed. Right.
Can I play some of it just so
How
people...
How can you not?
Right, just so people get an idea of the kind of work he does.
I'm not the typical rapper that you'll meet. I don't live in a box, nor was I raised on the street. I get up every morning.
The original mix. That was the old school version.
You know, when I made that, there weren't CDs, there weren't DVDs, there wasn't even an internet.
Right. It's funny because you can't tell.
Well, hey, on a boombox with a keyboard and a microphone. No, it's okay.
What year was that made, Denny?
It was made, everybody thinks Average Homeboy was my first video. I actually made a video before that called Blazin' Hazin', but the guy who found my tape at MTV in a box put Average Homeboy out first.
I see.
But roughly 89, 90, and it was about the same time you guys went on the air here, which tells you how long ago that was.
Wow. And put me back in the headspace of 20 years ago of what Denny Blaze was trying to do. I mean, was this an audition tape that you were making to send out to record companies or something you were just making to entertain yourself or your friends, or what was going on?
I always liked music. I could never sing, and I liked a rap station in the Cleveland area, and I had a boom box, and I learned all these words, and there's a song called Jam On It by Nucleus, and I memorized the song. And
can you do some Jam On It for us right now?
When I was a little baby boy, my mama gave me a brand new toy. Two turntables and with a mic, and I learned to rock like a Dolomite. Time went by in a star creation. I knew someday I would rock the nation. And when I heard someday I'd rock the nation, I said, hey, I want to rock the nation someday. Little did I know, one day I'd be rocking the world on the internet.
That's right. So, again, though, to ask my question again, what was your plan with the video that you made?
So I grew up in a TV family, production family, and I used to ride the school bus to the TV station. And I got a job at a Warner Cable when I was just a teenager. So I had access to video equipment, and I thought, and I had access, because I worked at Warner Cable, I thought I could get it to somebody at Warner Brother Records. So I said, I'm going to make a tape, I'm going to send it off to Warner Brother Records and try to get a recording contract and get... It's kind of like pioneering thing, too. At the time, there weren't white rappers. There weren't solo rap artists. So
right.
I said, I want to tell a point of view from a white guy from the suburbs of Ohio and tell about me. And the best thing you can do is be yourself and be original. So I wrote an original song, made a demo, sent it off, and I said, hey, I know I can do this. I want a recording contract.
It is kind of original thinking for a white kid in a middle-class neighborhood in Ohio to think that he could be a rap star. That you're right. There was no archetype for you to follow, really, at that point, right?
Well, if you look, the reason
there's
why
no Eminem for sure. Yeah, right?
The
no
reason
Eminem.
Why my video is so catchy is because it's like a time capsule from that period. I got the mullet, I got the hyper color clothes, and if you look, it's not something that you could actually like recreate really easy. It's something that Hollywood have to do, but you know, it wasn't easy to do back then because there weren't camcorders or cell phones with camp videos on them. I had to make it actually on a TV video camera that was tied to a VCR with gigantic tapes, and every tape had to be logged. And once you made an edit, you laid it down. It was done. You can't undo, paste, copy, or slide around. So you had to think out all your edits, and it was very time-consuming. So there's not a lot of videos out there like Average Homeboy from that time period. But, yeah, it was
one of those steam-powered cameras they used to use back 20 years ago.
They put coal burning.
I'll tell you, they were heavy. They had those gigantic steel tripods, and you had to have a cable. Your camera actually had to have a cable to a VCR that was like as big as those old VCRs you had on your table, and the batteries for them were like the size of car batteries, one for each.
So, did you get any response at all to the video from the various people you sent it out to?
I have, and I have saved to this day a folder full of past letters. I was telling Ralph a little bit earlier that I probably... Over the last 22 years, I've gotten hundreds of pass letters, and I've sent them off to all the major record labels. And, you know, thank you for your submission. However, it's not meeting our needs, or we're going in a different direction. But thank you, but no thank you.
We need to take a break, but I do have one question I want you to think about before we go. Is there a number of no's that come your way, and then finally you just go, maybe this isn't for me? I know a lot of people say don't ever give up on your dreams and stuff like that, but...
But here's in Kevin reality, the Dream Killer to tell you otherwise.
In reality, some people should give up their dreams. A lot of the early people in American Idol, you want to tell those people, hey, never give up on your dream. You go, no, maybe you should give up
go
on that
get
one.
A
well,
job.
If you come out to the Whiskey A Go-Go tonight, you'll see that I have a dream. I still have a dream. I'm working at it, and I don't stop believing.
I was going to give you some time to think about your answer, but you don't even need it.
You know, how can Denny sit across the console from you, Kevin, a guy who's working in professional radio, and say, I'm not good enough to achieve my dream?
You brought that up enough today, Ralph. Denny Blaze is here. You're all being blazed on the Kevin Abid Show. DennyBlaze.com, and that is spelled B-L-A-Z. By the way, DennyBlaze.com is where you can go. You can get his music on iTunes. The show at the Whiskey tonight is an all-ages show, just $15. And we'll talk more about what's happening on stage tonight and some of the special guest stars that are joining you with our guest, Denny Blaze, when we return after this on the Kevin Abid. That's not a Denny Blaze song, so I'm not interested in hearing it, Kevin. I don't want to hear anything that's not Denny Blaze. What are you doing?
It's over.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It's been a long time coming. We've spoken with Denny numerous times on the phone over the years from his home out there in the Cleveland, Ohio area. But he is in town for a show tonight at the Whiskey. Tickets available through TicketWeb.com. Just $15, all ages show. How is Leif Garrett appearing on stage tonight with you, Denny? What's going on with that?
Well, I was booked for the show, and they paired us up, so... Jake Perry over at M Productions called me up and wanted to book me, and he set us up. It's Friday the 13th, so that's kind of a scary matchup there. I don't know.
What a win for the kids, though, to get to see both of you tonight.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm looking forward to coming out and get a chance to blaze in West Hollywood.
How many songs you have, Denny?
Might want to be careful talking about blazing in West Hollywood.
That
takes on a whole different connotation.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you're from Cleveland. You may not be familiar with West Hollywood. But
I have more than 100 songs produced, but I'm doing 7 songs a night, about a half an hour set, and I'll probably going around 10:30-ish or so.
Are you doing that Black Man Can't Swim? Because that's the hit, right?
No, you know, I'm not doing that one. And if anybody in Hollywood's listening that has the balls enough to make that movie with me, I haven't found anybody that has any. And, you know, it's okay to make the movie White Man Can't Jump, as you heard on Tosh.0 that I said. But Black Man Can't Swim, don't say anything negative about that. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's comedy. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, you keep that to yourself.
I'm just saying.
You know, you might want to put together another half an hour because Leifgard may not show tonight. It's very possible. Well, so you may be on stage longer than you think, quite frankly. I saw him on Celebrity Rehab. He may not make it to the show tonight.
Well, let's hope he does and hope everybody has a good time tonight.
I'm sure they will.
You'll be doing, you just got Blaze. I'm sure you'll be doing that one tonight, right?
Yep. Yes, I'm going to do that.
We have an instrumental of that. I mean...
You want to have our guest perform live in studio?
Are you comfortable with that?
I'll do whatever you guys want. I appreciate you guys having me here.
No worries.
Whatever you guys want.
I have.
That's a,
you just got Blazed.
You have the track?
That's quite a statement.
You just got Blazed?
I got the track, yeah.
Oh, well.
Most rappers, you know, even the best of them, they don't want to do it live in front of people like this. So that's very impressive.
Like I said, it's something I've been looking forward to do. I love what I do. And
there you go. A little live performance.
You just got Blazed.
Denny Blaze.
Average homeboy on K-Rock.
Yo, I blaze it up, man. Blasted flames, here I go with my lava flow. I produce a glow, I ignite the show. If you don't want to get burnt, drop down low. I kick more rhymes than you can throw. Average homeboys rocking this scene. I'm cooking with gasoline. My flow can burn your afro sheen. I singe up haters like chili beans. I toast up crackers and keep it clean. I spread through your body like gangrene. I'm a middle class guy just living a dream. I bust this track like a rhyme machine. Step back, man, my lyrics blaze. I've been doing this skit for many days. You know how I like my donuts glazed.
Look at that. Denny Blaze.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. K-Rock just got blazed.
All right.
Even, If I may be so bold to suggest, can we turn down the audience?
I can't turn them down.
You can't control the audience.
It's real emotion.
I would say, if I may be so bold, you are better now than you were when you first started.
I have worked on perfecting my skill, and as I mentioned...
But I didn't say you perfected it yet. Don't get crazy.
Well,
you're better than you were when you started.
That's why I'm the average homeboy.
That's
I'm never
right.
going to be... you know, Tosh.0 called me the above average homeboy, but I'm sticking as the average homeboy until I die. I'm not the best rapper. I'm not the worst, but when it comes to white boy rappers, you know I did it first. So, anyways, you know...
All right.
My thing
represent.
I
like that a guy gives himself a title of average. Like, that's...
That's a good bar to set.
Because I might be able to reach average.
And when you go over it, everybody's like, oh my God, look at that average guy.
There's a long way down when you're at the top, thinking you're way above average. Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
Smart man.
And by the way, even though Kevin the Dream Killer, even though he wants you to fail, Denny, I don't want you to fail. I'm so impressed with your dedication to your craft and the heart and the soul and the sweat and the tears and everything that you put into it. I mean, this is the most important, I mean, outside of your family, of course, this is really important to you. This is a lifelong dream that you're working hard every day to try to accomplish. And I give you props for that, my friend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And, you know, ever since I've been a kid, I had a desire to entertain people. Back when I was a kid, there weren't, like I said, camcorders, but my dad used to tape us on that Hi8 film video stuff that you used to play on your wall. And, you know, even when I was 3 or 4 years old, I was making faces in the camera and jumping around. And I have 4 sisters. I used to, during their slumber parties, I'd get on the table and do Elvis Presley imitations.
Did they want you to do that? I mean,
I entertain them.
I just
love entertaining people. I also like to be a leader. And as we talked about, you know, most people follow the crowd. And a guy that wants to start rap music probably would start acting like a gangsta. And, hey, I got a belt on here in the studio today if anybody sees. I don't wear my pants around my ankles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I like to be a leader. And
you're not blinged out.
I like to be original, a leader, and so I have chased it, and I am dedicated. I love what I do, and I haven't let the naysayers say I can't do it.
There you go.
Well, you can see all of these videos at Denny's website, which is dennyblaze.com. You can find the videos on YouTube. Also, you can buy the music on iTunes. And most importantly, be at the Whiskey A Go-Go tonight, 7 o'clock. You say you go on around what, around 10:30? Is that what you said?
Around 10:30. And before I go, though, I brought you guys some gifts. I want you all to see them real quick.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, nice.
Being that I'm from Ohio, and that you guys are a morning show here. I got a couple things that are appropriate. Can we pass this around to Kevin?
Pass them around,
sure, of course. Sure.
Wow, we rarely
wow,
have a,
look at that.
A guest come in with a gift.
This is a coffee mug from the NFL Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's an Eagles mug with all the players that were ever in the Eagles that are in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
No kidding.
Mine's going to be empty.
Lisa's going to open up beans, right, and we'll have to send it out to the island out
very
there.
Very kind of you. Of course, you're right near there, near Canton, where they have the Hall of Fame.
I was born actually across the street from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's actually an expressway, but right across the street, and I grew up in the Canton area, where the home of the Hall of Fame is. And, you know, if you guys are sports fans, that's where you got to come to see all the best of the best come to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
This sure. is beautiful.
Kevin got a blank mug just with his name on it because I guess there are no Arizona Cardinals in there yet.
I was making a joke about it, but there really aren't any. So yeah,
it's actually blank.
It's just a Hall of Fame.
It's
mug.
A Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's a Hall of Fame.
That's the Pro Football Hall of Fame right okay. there.
That's
so.
Pretty cool.
That's for you,
very kind of you.
Thank you
and
very
got,
much,
I got
Danny.
I also got Lisa and Bear mug stuff
oh,
too.
Thanks,
Danny.
Three plastic cups.
Red Solo.
What a nice guy.
These aren't cheap plastic cups. These are from the Hall of Fame. That's right. Everything
we'll
else.
That's right.
It. I'm
Thank
an average homeboy, remember.
Yeah! Yes. And is there anything else you want to say before we let you go?
You know, add me on Facebook, Denny Blaze, or check out my website, DennyBlaze.com. Thank you so much for having me in the studio. Come out tonight. I hope you'll get blazed. And thank you for you guys. You guys are dedicated, too. You guys have been doing this for 20-some years here. So props to you guys for keeping up what you do and loving what you do and entertaining all of L.A. every morning. And
I'm waiting for you to say you got blazed.
K-Rock, you just got blazed. Yeah.
Who's Stephen Hawking? I know he's brilliant, but I don't know.
He's Homer Simpson's little robot friend, for starters. That's how you know him.
He wrote a book.
Simpsons. Yeah, exactly. He has written a bunch of books on how science works, on how space works and the universe and the history
is
and
he
the theories.
Physicist or something?
Yeah, he's everything. He's just a genius, right?
I got a great story about him being in a strip club.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to sometimes
man,
do something.
Right?
Yeah, you got to do something other than think sometimes.
So I thought we'd bring him on the phone. Good morning, Stephen Hawking.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, thank you, first of all, for making some time to talk to us today. We understand you were thinking with the little head the other night.
Thank you for doing research on me and knowing who I am. I should have sent over a bio.
You told me that he couldn't hear.
Now I'm that smart guy who wrote a book.
Now, this story out of the London Sun, Stephen, we want to make sure the details are correct here, is that you apparently showed up at a strip club called Stringfellows. Does the name sound familiar? Do you remember going to that place?
I certainly do.
Oh. Okay. And apparently a very popular place. Colin Farrell had been in there the night before. Apparently the ladies are very, very hot. And I guess you kind of had some fun in there with a blonde dancer named Tiger.
Oh, yes. I remember her very well. I was rolling deep with my posse, showing off a little bling bling. And there was Tiger. Bo shizzle, my nizzle.
This doesn't sound like you, Stephen Hawking. I thought you talked extremely intelligently.
Very extremely intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
You do, okay.
But I was partying.
I see, okay.
Right. Now, did you guys have a conversation? Did you speak with Tiger? She gave you a lap dance? Did you go back into the private room with the champagne? What all went down?
She was dancing on a pole.
Mm-hmm.
And when she bent over, I could see the entire universe.
Now,
I found the meaning of existence.
You did.
Oh.
Are you
going to
write a new book now?
I am.
Okay.
A Brief History of Labia.
Now, is this the first time you've been to a strip club, or do you go all the time? Because this is the first time I've ever heard of you being there.
I don't go too often.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them are wheelchair accessible.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
no, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
But this one just put in a ramp.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's nice.
Now,
okay.
Now this Tiger, were you able to, get a number, follow up, ask her out for lunch the next day? Did you hit on her? What happened?
I did get her number.
You did?
It was pie.
Well, that sounds like she's the perfect woman for you then, Mr. Hawking.
She is also a genius.
She is?
Many of these strippers are geniuses.
I wasn't aware.
I didn't know that, no.
Me neither, but who cares? She was effing hot.
I bet. Now, Professor, let me ask you this, and this is going to sound like an insensitive question, but I really don't know the answer. I'm not trying to make fun of you, but does anything work below the waist for you?
Everything works below the waist for me.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware.
Well,
yeah.
Not everything, or you wouldn't be in a wheelchair.
I have a computer chip in my penis.
Oh, no kidding.
I see. Okay.
That operates a complex system of levers, pulleys, and pumps.
I got you. So it all works.
I am hung like a Clydesdale.
Oh, all righty. So things going well for you and Tiger then, I guess.
Tiger and I had a very in-depth conversation.
Oh, yeah?
About the nature of the space-time continuum.
You did? Really?
And then I did a line of blow off her ass.
Okay. Well, congratulations on that. Well, it sounds like the story is true. A lot of times you see these reports in tabloids or whatever, and they don't pan out. But it sounds like everything they wrote about is true, Professor.
It certainly is. I split Tiger like a pair of eights.
I do see the picture of you with Tiger in the nightclub. Were you worried that that would get out since you're famous for being so intelligent?
No, I'm a good-looking guy.
Well, yeah, you are. Except for you, you're not so smart to show up at that strip club the night after Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell has nothing on me, bitch.
Oh, okay.
I would slap him. I would take him downtown to Chinatown.
If
I could walk,
right,
or
sure,
move,
in any way,
that's or the speak. Only,
that's the only thing that's holding you back, right. Well, listen, go ahead and send over Kevin a copy of your Brief History of Time book. I know he would enjoy that, and I'm glad you had the chance to join us here this morning, sir.
Holla back, youngins.
You are only about 5 minutes away or so for qualifying, getting on the standby boarding list for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway, destination number 3. With this time, it's the Reading Festival with System of a Down and the Lumineers and Imagine Dragons, Phoenix, Green Day, so much more. About 5 minutes from right now, and then throughout the day, you can get the details on how you can win at krock.com.
I don't know if you've seen this Prancercise video. It is really spectacular.
She's amazing.
We featured it on, I believe, the last Internet Roundup, and you can go to kevinandbean.com right now or krock.com and click on Kevin and Bean. It's at the top. Prancercise is this woman.
Hello, I'm Joanna Rohrbeck of Prancercise LLC, and I'm here today to show you the 4 modes of Prancercise. I've got my ankle weights in place, and my music's ready. So let's stop talking and do some walking.
So she has, I don't know, what is this, 40 years old, Bean? 50 years old?
When the original video came out?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what the history is, but it could not be more timely, what with Psy doing his little galloping dance in his Gangnam style. I mean, I guess there are people out there who like to do those kinds of make horsey sounds and try to lose weight that way,
so
right?
So she sort of skips and sort of prances.
She prances.
Yeah. She really gets crazy.
We're going to really cut the noose and let it loose with the Prancercise gallop.
So you can watch that. First, that's at the bottom of the page at krock.com and at Kevin and Bean. And at the top of the page is our friend Psycho Mike Catherwood. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Beer Mug is also in this video. And you guys have come up with what workout plan, Mike?
Well, it's Mancercise.
Mancercise.
Of course it is. Now, Mike, you're a guy who's been involved in physical fitness for most of your adult life. So when you see something like Prancercise come along, to you, you go, hey, maybe there's something to it. Maybe it's a jumping off point. I can use some of what we learned in this video, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you see something like Prancercise, it actually just it makes a guy like me feel bad. I've been wasting so much time in the gym lifting weights. And
actually working out?
Yeah, you're running sprints, things like that. I should have just been engaging in Prancercise the whole time.
You sort of prance through life.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a very good point, Kevin.
Thank you.
Your Prancercise announcing style is what really caught my attention on this video, Mike.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Catherwood. And this is my good friend Jonathan Cantrell. Our inspiration, Joanna Rohrbeck. She really changed our life. She changed our health. She changed our well-being with Prancercise. I know she's helped thousands of you around the world. We were so inspired by Joanna and her work that we started Mancercise. So we're out here in Venice, California. We're about to get started with some Mancercise. Won't you join us?
Let's do it.
Let's get the blood pumping with just some standard mancing.
Okay. Mike, talk about what you and Beer Mug are wearing in this video at kevinandbean.com.
I'm wearing my wife's exercise pants. Like compression pants and a shirt that I found in my drawer that I have no idea where it came from that says peace and love.
That's tied very, very pretty in the front.
Yeah, like it's tied like a pirate's wench.
And Beer Mug?
Beer Mug is wearing what appears to be tights. I think they're supposed to be tights. I don't know. It fits Beer Mug so awkwardly. He looks like he's about to go commit a crime in Clockwork Orange.
Yeah, he's awfully lumpy in those pants.
Yeah, and believe me, Beer Mug's awfully lumpy in certain areas, and I have to say that he's very gifted in one particular area.
Although he is wearing white pants. White pants, you're offering up your backside. And I think that says it all.
And he proves that the theory of white pants is true later on in the video, if you really pay attention.
the warm down, the stretch?
Yeah.
But first, there's a little bit more.
Ooh. Yeah. Take off the noose and let's let it loose. Now that we've got the blood flowing, let's show them what we're working with. Embrace the pace.
Now, you guys are prancing around in this video you shot down there in Venice, and I don't know much about how TV and film production works, but usually it takes a long time to make a video, right? Like, if this is a 2.5-minute video, you guys probably film for 10 hours. That's how these things go, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's it like being in a physical fitness situation with Beer Mug all day?
I really like Beer Mug as a person, but there was some times where I looked at him and asked if he was joking or not, because he got really physically tired, like really drained.
Dude. Mike, you don't know the half of it. When he was here at the station before he went over to Venice, he changed. He put on some clothes under the ones that he was wearing, and he came back into the office, and he looked like he had just run a marathon. He was he was really breathing heavy and was, like, sweating, and I said, "What did you do?" He said, "Changed."
We had to stop 2 takes because he got cramps in his calf.
Did he get sunburned, too? Is that what I also heard, is he couldn't face the sun out there in Venice?
Yeah, and Beer Mug really embodies the smell of a man, too, especially when he's getting active.
Oh, no. Muggs, what do you remember about that day you shot with Mike for the Mancercise video?
Well, Mike pretty much summed it up. I mean, there was a point in time where, yeah, I was shamefully out of breath after 45 seconds, and Mike looked me dead in the eyes in the between takes, and he says, "Listen, Muggs, it's 45 seconds. Toughen the F up."
Because Mike knows it's just going to be a quick little dumb video, right. And he doesn't want to be out there all day because you can't go 45 seconds.
Exactly.
And we're filming this video in Venice, right there, like, in the middle of the canals. There was a lot of tourists.
Yeah, but nobody thinks anything about that in Venice.
Well, I didn't think anything of it, but it's so funny that I have people there that are filming us on purpose, and I'm doing, Beer Mug and I are doing all this wacky stuff. But you got so embarrassed when anybody else started taking pictures of you. Like, I got so conscious of myself in that outfit dancing around when, like, German, or French tourists came by and started snapping pictures. They probably thought we were filming something important. But
no, they're probably gay porn.
The video is hilarious. Again, it's called Mancercise. If you want to see our friend Mike Catherwood, co-host of Loveline here on KROQ, along with our own Fat Beer Mug, who's just running around in ridiculous clothing.
They're prancing.
Are definitely prancing. And Mike, you've been around physical fitness a long time, that I feel like I can ask you this question. It's shocking that Beer Mug is in his 20s, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And you know why it's even worse? There's plenty of guys Beer Mug's age that are really out of shape and can lose a couple pounds. But Beer Mug, just like 3 or 4 years ago, Beer Mug was actually in pretty good shape. That's why it's even more shocking for me, is I remember filming like MMA Beer Mug, and I remember working out with Beer Mug and Nicole Alvarez, and like there was a time and a place not too long ago where Beer Mug was really in good shape.
But it was really he was bright for 1 second and then just went right back to fat.
Yeah, he shined hot and bright for just a brief moment.
That was it.
That was the day.
It's like working on the with the exception of Mike, who obviously always stayed in shape. But I feel like for Beer Mug, working on the Kevin and Bean show is like what happens to presidents when they're in the Oval Office during their first term. You know how they age like 25 years in 4.
So true.
Yeah, it puts years on you. But I had to fall back on a lot of surgery, guys, to really keep it all together.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you did a terrific job with this video. It is very, very funny. I do hope that somehow Joanna Rohrbach, who made the original Prancercise video, I do hope at some point she sees it. I'd love to know what she thinks about it.
Beer Mug and I are hoping to film 2 Guys, 1 Prance.
Yeah.